You're listening to Improvisations, Todd Seed. I've got three members of Frog and Toad's Dixie Quartet here in the studio. Jason Day, Jason Thompson, Chad Volkers. Also in the band, we've got David Knight on percussion and Nolan Nevels on drums.
That's correct.
And I have to go ahead and apologize. The very first time I interviewed Nolan, I called him Neville Nolans. And he just kind of looked at me like, how many times does this have to happen? You know? But I wanted to apologize. Good. I want to apologize again.
Public apology, also, that always makes it better.
Yeah, a little bit of shame is good for me. Hey, the new record is just fabulous. It's it made our best of 2016 list. You got it in just in time.
I heard that show. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
It's called How About Today. What's it? What does that title mean?
It's the name of one of my songs. This is Jason Day speaking. I guess maybe I'm the one that should explain what that means.
Indeed.
Actually, that title came from a story that came from a bass player that lives in the Raleigh-Durham area that I had a chance to play with. And his name's John Brown. I suppose he probably wouldn't mind me saying his name. And he used to play with Elvin Jones. And he related to me a story once about he was hanging out in a hotel room with Elvin. They were listening to the radio, they were listening to some old Coltrane bootlegs that he had. He was particularly impressed with what Jimmy Garrison was playing, the bass player. John Brown just kind of gasped and was like, oh, man, one day I want to be able to play like that. And Elvin, just in that, you know, I can almost hear his voice in my head, and he looked over and said, well, how about today? Like, it's just as easy as that. I don't know. That story kind of always stuck with me, and I was kind of procrastinating writing a song for a long time, and that story just kind of popped in my head, and I just wrote that song in like a day.
I saw somewhere someone said, you really want to freak out people? Do this when they say, hey, we should hang out sometime. Reply, how about now? And watch their facial expression change.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, everybody try it that's listening as well, and then report back in a week.
Excellent.
This is your second recording, and it's very, very different from the first one. And I love them both for different reasons. I'm kind of curious, did you go into making How About Today with a plan to make it very different from the first one, or did it just evolve organically?
Well, I mean, for me, this is Jason Thompson speaking, by the way. It was naturally going to be a different sounding album and a different feel of the album because the first album is mainly compositions of my own. And so I guess I have a certain way of composing and a certain way of, invoking the characters involved in the band. And, you know, these two guys sitting next to me, these are, much more accomplished composers than myself and had some really, really nice compositions. And so on this one, I, decided that that we should feature mainly their compositions on this one. So it's kind of a different take on the use of the color palette of the band, in these guys' eyes.
And you've also got new members, including Chad Volkers, who's here with us. And we've played your solo. It's not a solo guitar album. It's a solo album with guitar and instruments.
Correct.
How did you weasel your way into this band? Tell us or is it vice versa? How did the band weasel its way into your life?
Well, Jason Thompson and I have been playing for well over a decade. We had a weekly event at Baker Peters for most of its run while it was still up. So the Frog and Toad thing is more recent, but our duo relationship has been going on for a long time. I'm not even sure how long. Do you remember?
I think it's 14 years.
There you go. So, our collaboration has been going on for a long time, and we've gone through multiple combinations, I guess, different groups, different rhythm sections. Just our collaboration has gone through many phases, and this is just the latest of our ensembles.
When I go out to see bands, with jazz bands, there's always going to be a certain level of proficiency. Do you know what I mean? Hmm. Like, I'm always going to enjoy it because you can't be a jazz musician without having at least a brown belt in jazz, if not a black belt. And so I always enjoy it. But there's another level of band, and I'm going to put you guys in that classification. When I go see you guys, I always think, I want to be in that band. I want to be in that band.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if I can't, well, I'm not good enough. But it doesn't matter. You know, the fantasy is a fantasy for a reason. But I always feel like this is a really fun band doing really interesting things. How do you balance that, keeping it really fun live, but also the arrangements and the harmonies and things going on are very intricate. You've obviously put a lot of work into it. How do you balance keeping it fun but keeping it so evolved musically?
Well, I think having a regular gig, we play twice a week at a place called the Crown and Goose down in the Old City. That's Wednesdays and Fridays. But yeah, just having a chance to play together so much, you know, what I like in great bands, not calling us a great band, but what I like to hear about a great band is a sense of tightness, but then beyond that, there's a sense of looseness to it. And I think getting to play together so much has really afforded us an opportunity to get the arrangements really tight and then just kind of deconstruct them and see what kind of wants to happen and let them kind of evolve organically like that. So I think that's worked well for this group.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, you know, I think, you know, musically, we come from different places and you know, different musical lineages, and we each do what we do in a very confident and strong way. So when you mix them together, it's just, I mean, when you're playing with guys who are better than you, it's always fun and challenging. And I think that, you know, we do a really good job of not really picking tunes just because it's challenging or just because it's fun. We kind of have this really nice way of kind of toeing the line and enjoying the difficulty of the arrangements and compositions, as well as, like you said, just making sure that there's that element of joy to the things that we do, because it's supposed to be fun. It's music.
Yeah, it, even though it doesn't sound specifically like Mingus, to me it has that feeling of that grittiness and that exuberance, but a lot of musical thought into it.
Oh, that's a high compliment. Yeah. Thank you.
Definitely a big influence.
Really? Okay.
Of mine, yeah, I could say of mine. For a group without a bass player, we definitely channel some Mingus.
It's the spirit.
Yeah.
Another thing about this record that different from the other one is when we did Debut, we kind of were fresh with those tunes. Like, we didn't know them that well.
That's the truth.
And it had a sense of a little bit of you know, there was some timidness there. And they evolved as we played them live the years after. And with this one, we did the opposite, taking that we had the tunes and they sort of evolved on the gig. Some of the staple parts of the arrangements were spontaneous things that someone did, even if it wasn't who wrote the tune. Mm-hmm. And it just, we started doing it that way. So when we got to the studio, we had more of an idea. It had already taken on its growth.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm.
And, but we still, you know, just did them in one or two takes and just let it happen.
Yeah. It's mostly live recording.
But we had played them for a while, yeah, before we recorded them, and I think that helped.
Do you ever have, on the reverse of that, do you ever have the experience of, like, recording something and then it evolves into this wonderful place and go, crap, we shouldn't have recorded it, you know? And well, never. Don't answer.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that question. What's a track on here you feel that really was fully evolved? You've been playing it a long time, and you felt like it was, oh, we got it. We need to capture it. What's a track or two on here that we can listen that would show that?
Man, they're all really in the same boat.
Yeah. What's something we should listen to then? I know with like three or four writers in the band, that's an even worse question.
I'm deferring to the composer known as Jason Day here.
Oh, man. All right, Jason, you must pick the song.
Him and Chad have the majority of the compositions on this, so I'm just going to force him by peer pressure to pick it.
Well, let's go with, why not go with Little Prayer for Jabel?
So we're going to check out Little Prayer for Jabel here on Improvisations. We've got Frog and Toad's Dixie Quartet in with us. Their new recording is called How About Today? You're listening to Improvisations. Todd Steed sitting here with three members of Frog and Toad's Dixie Quartet. We got Jason Day, Chad Volkers, and Jason Thompson. Little prayer for Jabel. What does that mean? Who is Jabel? What is the prayer?
Well, Jabel, contrary to what some people have speculated, was the name of a cat that belonged to my wife that I kind of inherited by nature of our marriage. And just kind of a real ornery Persian kitty that we had. And so he passed away around 2011. And so it was sort of an homage to Jabel, but I don't know, in as much as a song is ever really literally about something, you know, especially an instrumental jazz song. I think it was also a bit about that time of my life. My mother had also passed away of cancer that same year. So I believe it was really kind of about the whole, you know, that whole spirit of loss. And so it begins very much like a meditation. That opening melody that you hear is something that my wife used to sing to the cat every time she would come home. And so it sort of evolved out of that. But in the middle, there's more of a joyous kind of spiritual, like an old spiritual kind of song. And you know, that's really meant to kind of depict the joy. You know, I didn't want it to be a sad thing. So it's really kind of more in that spirit.
I'm going to go ahead and make a confession here. And don't tell anybody. But a lot of times when I'm looking for songs to pick off a record, I'll pick something I know I'm pronouncing correctly. So therefore, certain songs will never get played.
This must be one of Chad's songs.
This is one. Yes, Chad, tell us about track 4. Seduzido per la musica. Oh, okay. Seduzido per la musica.
Portuguese for seduced by the music.
I just figured it out. I'm no longer afraid. But Portuguese, what's going on with that?
Well, I have a love and a fascination for bossa nova music, Brazilian music. And it's very natural to write that style on the guitar. So that was just really my a song that when I wrote, it seemed seductive. The chords were intriguing, and they came really fast. Just in a matter of minutes, I wrote that tune for the most part. It just seemed to flow out of the guitar, and I wrote it on a nylon string guitar. So to me, it had a Joe Beam quality to it.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to give it a name that matched that sort of color I was hearing out of that. Stylistically, and I put it together, and with some great collaboration from these guys to get some of the groove changes from just a traditional bossa nova. It turned out to be one of my favorite tunes I've written.
Yeah, it's a really nice tune, and I'm no longer afraid to play it because I can just take the recording of you saying it and just insert that, make that like an audio trigger.
And we had some fun with the beginning and end of this in the studio. We, a great friend of mine, David Knight, doing percussion, had lots of little toys of just birds, and he had an ocean board, he called it. What, I don't know what he called that, a soundboard or something. And we really had a really long intro and outro on this that obviously we edited down. And the joke among us was it reminded us of like a Corona commercial.
Yeah, that's
just
it.
Sitting on the beach, you know.
You can make that the special mix or something.
Exactly.
Only if they pay us.
That's right. Well, let's check it out. Frog and Toad's Dixie Quartet. How about today? We'll be back with them in just a moment for the conclusion of our interview here on Improvisations. This is Improvisations. We're talking with Chad, Jason, and Jason from Frog and Toad's Dixie Quartet. The new recording is called How About Today? There's a song title that gets my attention, Skull and Top Hat. Jason, what can you tell us about that? That sounds like something you would name something to.
In my compositions, I kind of write out of mainly a set of character pieces. You know, I'm fascinated by the depiction of a character or a visual scene in music. And I just was sitting down a couple of Halloweens ago, and my wife and I were talking about, you know, old Halloween specials we used to see as a kid. And I popped on YouTube and got some of those Merry Melodies, black and white cartoons. And there's a whole set of them where there's, you know, some of them are Egyptian settings, some of them are old Roman settings where, like, the bones all come alive and they do a dance and all that. And had a set of R&B tunes that I wrote when I got divorced a few years back. And I was just looking for fresh ideas for composition, and so I decided that I was going to take this R&B tune and just change the style of it and see if I could make it work out as a jazz tune, and that's where Skull and Top Hat comes from.
Awesome. Let's check it out.
Thank you.
That is Skull and Top Hat, courtesy of Frog and Toad's Dixie Quartet. Their new recording is called How About Today. It definitely topped near the list of my favorite recordings of 2016, and I put it up against whatever came out all over the world, man. It's just a great record, and I really am thrilled we've got a band putting out such original, wonderful, varied music here in Knoxville, and I really appreciate you guys coming in today.
I know. Appreciate you having us. Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man.
All right. So any parting comments that you feel people should know, that it's not all about the soprano sax, but or what we...
Yeah, we did. That's actually something that is also different about the first and the second album. I only played baritone and bass saxophone on the first debut album there. And on How About Today, there were some tunes that... It really needed an additional character, and soprano sax was that character. I've got a couple of different sopranos I play on there for a couple of different kind of sound effects. And check out the other tunes. If you don't like soprano sax, I'm sure you'll find some other saxophones on there you do like.
Yeah, there's at least 12 tunes on here. So
it's a good amount of tunes.
That's a generous selection.
Absolutely, and just don't forget about our gigs every Wednesday and Friday down in the Old City at the Crown and Goose.
And those are free. Anybody can walk in.
No cover charge, family atmosphere, lots of good food and cold beverages, and live jazz.
I'm sold. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to Greg Hill for engineering our session today. Greg waves to the audience. I mentioned earlier in my interview with Frog and Toad's Dixie Quartet that there were certain songs I would not play because I was scared to mispronounce them. Maybe in the past I would never have played Pithecanthropus Erectus by Charles Mingus. And we mentioned Mingus earlier too, so here is the great Charlie Mingus.